Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9, where we left off last time. Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian under the sound of my voice who loves America to join me each Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for fervent Holy Spirit intercessory prayer for our precious President Donald Trump and for the United States of America. Come and fight the spiritual fight with me. Let us take back our country for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Bible. Each Wednesday, 6 p.m. My school is no longer in Cocoa, Florida. I'm in a new location. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I am hidden behind the produce place. You won't find a sign, but if you really seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida, 32940. So each Wednesday, 6 p.m., I do teach the word first. Now, I also want to invite all of you who would like to come each Sunday, 5 p.m., the same place here for the live radio recording. And now, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Excuse me. Revelation chapter 6 is entitled The Seven Seals. A seal is a sign. Signs that are happening or have happened before the second coming of Jesus. Now, we learn that Jesus took the Apostle John up to heaven. Not the church, just John, to show John things going on in heaven and on earth before Jesus comes, as Jesus comes, when Jesus comes, and even out into the future heaven on earth. So last time John saw a lamb slain, meaning the Lord Jesus, go to the one that sat on the throne, that's the Father, Yahweh, and he took the book that was written within and without and on the back. And the book had seven seals. And so only the Lamb could loose the seals. Only the Lamb could explain them. So the Lamb began to loose the seals. Now, we studied those first four seals last time. Let me give you a recap. Now, I also want you to know that last time I told you that in Mark 13, Jesus also taught these seven seals, and I referred to those, and I'll refer to them again. So by this chapter 6, Mark 13 and study it for home. So we learned that the first seal last week was a white horse, and a rider sat on him with a bow. Now, these are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but it's not a literal horse. It means power, horsepower. So this looks like Jesus. White was purity, and in Revelation 4, we found that Jesus has a bow around his throne likened to an emerald, the Hebrew wedding stone. However, we studied the Greek word for bow in this case, and it was toxon, cheap fabric imitation. Now, Jesus says in Mark 13, verse 5, let no man deceive you. So this first rider on the white horse is the Antichrist, the man of sin, sin of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, this does not mean that the Antichrist has come yet. He's about to come. But it means that this lie has been taught for a long, long time. Because in 1830, a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald, had a vision and brought the teaching to America that Jesus is coming before the Antichrist to fly you out of here. This lie has been going on a long time. So that sign has already happened as and now is in progress. Then last time, the second horse was a red horse. Red symbolizes war. And in Mark 13, Jesus says there should be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. Why is that? We've always had wars. That sign's always been since Cain killed Abel. Every time you turn around, there's a war. You know what's the opposite of war? Peace. When the Antichrist comes, who's really that first rider on the white horse, he's going to say peace and safety. So war, that sign's been going on all the time. Then there was the black horse, the black sign. He had some balances in his hand, so this symbolized famine. Amos 8:11 says, at the end time here, right now, there's a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but of every word of God. We studied the seven type churches here at the end. There are only two types, the Smyrna type and the Philadelphia type, that teach you every word of God, the truth. You can hardly find it. In other words, you'll get a word, or one verse, a word about the book, or somebody's sermon, but where do you get the whole mystery of God? It's pretty much of a famine. And then that was the third sign. Now we studied one more sign last time, and it was a rider on a pale horse. The pale means icky, sicky, throw up, green. What that means is harvested out of season. If you go to your garden and you want to pick a piece of delicious fruit and you bite into it and it's not harvest time, it's green, it's icky, icky. So what this means is this sign is that there's such little teaching of truth in the world, the lies there, and people don't know the signs of the seals, that many of the Christians, the whole world and half the body of Christ, are going to be harvested out of season because they're going to believe the rider on the white horse when he comes is Jesus, but he'll be the Antichrist. Jesus also told us last time in Mark 13, pray that your flight be not in winter. Why is that? Harvest is not in winter. Harvest is in summer. So you harvest it out of summer. So in essence, we've already had all of these signs. Remember, the rider isn't here, but the lie is. Now, what is the fifth seal?
Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held.
Okay, this is the fifth seal. This means people who have been killed for loving Jesus and for preaching his word since he paid the sin debt. Well, we know in the book of Acts, James, the brother of John, was the first martyr, and there was the apostle Paul. And we've heard of Christians being killed all down through their books of martyrs. Also, the fake news won't tell you, but all this time, there have been thousands of Christians, especially in the Mideast, murdered because they were Christians. We have all seen on the television ISIS take those Christians in their orange jumpsuits and cut their heads off. They were beheaded. And so this sign has already been for the most part. Now there are going to be a few more murdered as we're going to find out. But this sign also. So look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We already have the fifth sign of the second coming.
Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
So nobody's dead now. They're either on one side of the gulf or the other. So these are on the good side, and they say, Lord, how much longer are you going to let people kill Christians? Now, the Lord's going to answer.
11. And white robes were given unto every one of them.
Before the Lord answers, he gives them a white robe. Revelation 19 says, the righteousness of saints, righteous acts of saints, weaves your robe that you will wear for all eternity. If you are murdered because you're teaching God's word, that's enough material to cover your whole naked body.
And it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season.
Wait just a moment.
Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed should be fulfilled.
So the Lord says there's going to be a few more people who are going to be killed. Now we know when the Antichrist comes, the two witnesses are going to be killed, but they're going to arise from the dead. And in studying the churches, I taught you that there is going to be a martyr called Antipas. That's not the name. That means against the Father, against the false Father, against the Antichrist, who will be killed. And probably that will be someone in the Smyrna type or in the Philadelphia type. We're both of those types. So there'll be somebody else. And there are a few more, but mostly that fifth sign has already happened.
Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal.
Now here comes the sixth seal. Six is a number of Satan, you know, 666.
And lo, there was a great earthquake.
Now this means shaking. Now in Mark 13, Jesus says the heavens shall be shaken. In Hebrew 12, it says God's going to shake heaven and earth, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken, and what cannot be shaken will not be shaken. God's going to shake the heavens. What's he going to do?
And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair.
Okay, now in Mark 13, he says the sun shall be darkened. All right, what does that mean?
And the moon became as blood.
In Mark 13, and the moon shall not give her light. Now, what this means is, in Bible prophecy, and Revelation is a prophecy, not history prophecy, any prophecies given in the sun is talking about the light. Who's the light of the world? Jesus, okay? So, in other words, you can hardly find a truth. The elect are the hidden ones, Zephaniah says, and only Smyrna type and Philadelphia type teach you the truth. So you can hardly find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What about the moon in Mark 13 shall not give her light? That means the moon in Bible prophecy is always a prophecy of the devil, of the Antichrist. And so the first rider on the white horse, this sixth seal, is the Antichrist. He's going to be shaken from heaven, Revelation 12, by Michael the Archangel. And he's coming out of the sky. Now he's going to call him God Savior, Theoselta. Christians will think he's Jesus, the deceived Christians. The whole world will think he's God. But he's not going to give any light because he's the father of lies. Revelation of John 8, Jesus says, devil is the father of lies. Okay? But what does it mean the moon should be turned to blood? Okay. The moon is the prophecy of the devil. Now, I know all of you have seen on television all these pictures of the blood moons. That's okay, but that's baby. Because there is a Bible in the stars. When I taught Joseph, I taught you the Bible in the stars. I'm not talking about your horoscope. What this means is, this is a prophecy of the moon, the devil coming in the sky, shaken by Michael, calling himself God's Savior, half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will think it's Jesus, and the world will call him God. He's going to come to earth where man is with blood coursing in your veins. The sixth seal is the Antichrist coming, calling himself God, coming to you.
13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth.
Okay, the stars of heaven fell. Mark 13, Jesus says the stars shall fall to earth. Okay, what does this mean? In the book of Job, we find that the stars are children of God minus the flesh. I taught you Genesis 6, and I recently taught you Jude, that the fallen angels refused to be born of women. They did not have the flesh, and they came and seduced the beautiful daughters of Eth Ha'adam, the man Adam. Well, they are right now held in a place called Sardis, but they are coming back with the Antichrist, and they're going to come out of heaven. They're coming with him, so they are stars. But there's a big star there. Now, we know the true morning star is our Lord Jesus. He's the day star. But in Isaiah 14, Lucifer, dragon, devil, serpent, Antichrist, beast, he is coming back, and he calls himself the morning star. So see, there he is. This is the sixth seal. The Antichrist is the sixth seal. He comes. You notice Jesus isn't here yet? Okay.
Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs.
There's the rider on the pale horse. In other words, the Antichrist is coming, and he wants to harvest you to say, come, I am Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, pray that your flight be not in winter. Harvest it out of season. Because we know when the real Jesus comes, he's going to harvest the grapes. He's going to harvest us who are the wheat from the tares, okay? But so this is an untimely harvest. Okay, the sixth seal is the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's not a man out of Rome. He's not a human being. He always wanted to be God. That's why we're in this trouble anyway. He said in Isaiah 14, I will be God. Now here we are.
When she is shaken of a mighty wind.
A mighty wind. Now this is not the holy Ruach, which is the good wind, the Holy Spirit. This is an ill wind. It's the lies, like that first horse of the lie fly proverb, that Jesus is coming first before Antichrist. That's an ill wind. That's a lie.
Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together.
This is the seventh seal.
And every mountain and isle were removed out of their places. 15.
In Mark 13, Jesus says, and after that tribulation, what tribulation? After the Antichrist, his time, it's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13 says, after his tribulation, then shall the Son of Man appear in all of his glory. That will be the second coming of Jesus. So this is the seventh seal. Notice he comes after the sixth one.
And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men.
Okay, the mountains and nations moved means all the powers, the rulers and kings and nations and government on earth are not going to be in charge anymore. For Jesus, Yeshua, is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, all the politicians, all the leaders, all the big shots, all the lying Adam Schiffs.
Every bondman and every free man.
Poor and rich alike.
Themselves in the dens and in the rocks.
Why will they hide themselves in the dens and in the rock? Somewhere in here, the very elect, that 7,000, are going to be delivered up to this Antichrist, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak through us, and the whole world will hear the truth. And all the world, Revelation 13 says, will worship the Antichrist. Half the body of Christ will worship him because he thinks he's Jesus. If you didn't know the scripture, you would, because he's going to be sweet and nice, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. But when those other Christians who are deceived hear the elect, then when they see Jesus comes, they say, oh my God, we married the devil. We loved Jesus all our life. We went to church, but we never bothered to know the truth. We never gave our lives to God. We were too busy doing our little stuff, even to come on Wednesday night. We didn't care enough, and we have married the devil. And we're too ashamed to face the Jesus. They'd gone to church all their lives loving Jesus.
The mountains, 16, and said to the mountains as rocks, fall on us.
And the deceived church will say, fall on us. We can't face Jesus.
And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Now, the wrath of the Lamb is Jesus when he comes. Jesus is coming back with a cup of wrath in his hand. This is the cup about which Jesus prayed in the garden before his crucifixion. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was not trying to get out of the crucifixion. He came to die to pay our sin debt. He was thinking of this very moment, the seventh seal, the second advent. He knew he would have to come out and pour out that cup of wrath on the whole world and half of the body of Christ who will be worshiping the Antichrist. And Jesus didn't want to do that, but he's going to pour it out, and the elements are going to burn up with fervent heat. That doesn't mean fire. Elements means rudiments, false teaching. Everybody will know then that the lie fly proverb, that the Antichrist is not the Christ, and every knee shall bow, the politicians, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Are you alive
Hallelujah.
Out there?
Yeah. Amen.
17, for the great day of his wrath hath come.
The second coming of Jesus.
And who shall be able to stand?
Every knee shall bow. Only the elect that endure to the end and are not taken in by the liar, the Antichrist, coming before Jesus, calling himself God, great revival in the Christian church, except they're worshiping the wrong one. Only the elect will be able to stand around his feet. Everybody else, you say, get away from new. I never knew you.
Revelation chapter 7, verse 1.
Now, in Revelation chapter 6, I asked you to write Mark 13. Revelation 7, I want you to write Daniel chapter 7 and study for homework. I'll refer to it. This chapter 7 is what is called a parenthetical chapter. Before we continue on with the prophecy before Jesus comes, he's going to give you some information and wisdom and understanding by the Holy Spirit so that you will know what to do with the seven seals you have just learned. So you also want to refer to Daniel 7, and I will talk to you about that.
One, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Verse 2.
Okay. Now, the winds here, we're going to find out, are called destructive forces. We know we have the Holy Spirit. He's the wind of God. He's the Holy Ruach. He's not destructive. The winds represent a destructive force. The four corners of the earth is round, but it means all over the earth. Just before the Antichrist comes, there are four holy angels holding back a destructive force, and we're going to find out why they're holding it back. So what's the destructive force? In Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist is coming first, and he's going to be called the God of Force. So the holy angels are holding back the God of Force, and the four destructive forces are mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. They're described as a little horn. A horn means power, but this one is not the great power, he's the little power. The four angels are holding back the Antichrist with a little power. Daniel says one is like a lion. Well, we know Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. The Antichrist is coming and saying he's Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lie of the Antichrist. One is like a leopard. And so the Antichrist is coming, say, I am pure. I have no spot of sin, without spot, without blemish. But a leopard cannot change his spot. He will have the spot of the devil. And the fourth wind in Daniel 7 is the bear. Now, this is a deeper teaching. Daniel talks about that. The bear devours. The devil, your adversary, goes about seeking whom he may devour. But in a deeper meaning, Edom in the Hebrew, Ezekiel 38:39, is rush, rush, rush by the Volga. Russia is coming against Jacob, two tribes called Judah, 10 tribes called Israel, house of Israel, the larger bulk of us in America. Russia's coming against America, the God's children, and that's called the Battle of Hamagog. So the four angels are holding back this ill wind, and there's a reason for it. Haven't you heard an ill wind is blowing?
Yes.
So this is not talking about the wind that blows the leaves on the trees. This is the destructive force of the Antichrist and all of his camp, and the angels are holding him back. Why?
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God.
Now, the seal of the living God is the word of God, the truth.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea.
Okay, this good angel with the seal of God says to these four angels who are holding back this destructive force, the four ill winds, the destroyer. Okay, he's going to cry to him. What's he going to say?
3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.
Saying, wait just a minute. So see, right now, right as you and I are here together, those angels are holding back the Antichrist and all of the destructive force, the ill wind. The reason is because there are some people yet who are going to hear this message today, and we're going to find out how many, because the 7,000 elect are giving the message on the air, in the land, in the sea, and there are some people yet to hear who are going to receive it so they won't be deceived. And so he says, hold it until the seal of truth gets in their forehead. We read in Revelation 9 that God has already ordered the Antichrist, do not touch any green tree who has the seal of God in their forehead. What's in your forehead? Your brain. In other words, tree, you're called trees of righteousness. Green means you're alive, you're not a dead branch. those of you who have the truth, the devil cannot touch you. So he's saying, hold it just a minute. This is happening right now. God is saying, hey, hold on. Don't let Antichrist come, because there's some people out there, and you're hearing me today on the air and on the internet, and you're going to hear this truth, and the truth's going to go in your forehead, because you have to be sealed with the truth before the Antichrist can come, because God loves you. And maybe somebody in this room.
Amen.
Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000.
There are 144,000 people alive on planet Earth right now. There are only 7,000 elect here at the end who are giving this truth out. And so the reason this truth is going out, my purpose is not to create a nice little playground here for you to come and feel good. My purpose and your purpose ought to be that we get this word out so the 144,000 can hear it, so they will not be deceived. Some of you out there hearing this now, receive the truth, be sealed, so we can get on, so the Lord Jesus can come.
Amen.
Now, 144,000, add that together, it's 9. It's a number of completion. It's not a literal number any more than the 7,000. 7 is those who have the perfect truth, the elect, very few in number, but a few scattered here and there. 144,000 means the whole of the body of Christ, who when they hear the truth, they will receive it.
Of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
There are 12 tribes, okay. Now we're going to find out that there are going to be 12,000 of every tribe yet to be sealed. And you, some of you are listening to me, so get sealed today. What's 12 times 12? 144,000. 12,000 times 12,000, okay.
Verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000.
Judah, the king line.
Of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000.
Reuben.
Of the tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000.
Gad.
Of the tribe of Asher, which sealed 12,000.
Asher in the Hebrew.
Of the tribe of Naphtali was sealed 12,000.
Naphtali.
Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000.
Manasseh. Manasseh is one of Joseph's sons. Now Joseph got a double portion, which almost makes 13 tribes, because he had two sons. I just taught this in Genesis. That's why I wanted you to get Genesis. Some of you thought that was a sweet story. No, if you don't know the beginning, you don't know the ending. If you don't know Genesis, you don't know Revelation. If you don't know Revelation, you don't know Genesis. Ephraim and Manasseh were Joseph's sons. Manasseh's Ephraim is Great Britain, and Manasseh broke off and founded Canada and these United States of America. Hey, America, 12,000 of you, come on in.
Mom.
Verse 7, of the tribe of Simeon was sealed 12,000.
Simeon.
And of the tribe of Levi was sealed 12,000.
Levi, the priesthood. Oh, thank goodness, Aaron, Corey, we're saved.
And of the tribe of Issachar was sealed 12,000.
Issachar.
Verse 8, of the tribe of Zebulun was sealed 12,000.
Zebulun, great in business, shipping business.
Of the tribe of Joseph was sealed 12,000.
Wait just a minute. Joseph relinquished his. He's one of the 12 patriarchs to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Goodness, if things had been right, that would have been Ephraim. Ephraim's not there. Oh.
Of the tribe of Benjamin was sealed 12,000.
Benjamin's there. That's Joseph's brother. Now we find there are two tribes missing, Ephraim and Dan. Now doesn't that look bad? However, God gives us hope. Please understand, there is not a second chance after this one time in the flesh. This is our second chance, except for the elect. They're sent to teach. But when Jesus comes, the book of Ezekiel tells us what's going to happen during that one long day, the 1,000 years. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies, saved and lost alike. The Zadok, the elect, will teach. And when we read in Ezekiel chapter 44 on through 48, we find that Ephraim and Dan are back in. That doesn't mean you get a second chance then. It means that God is fair. Because remember, there are only two type churches now teaching the truth. In other words, the sun is darkened, the moon doesn't give its light, and there's hardly any truth. God is fair. He was going to give everybody a chance to hear one time. So all tribes shall be saved. In other words, Paul tells us that in Romans. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues.
Now, we move now. Remember, Jesus is showing John in the past, the present. He moves now. We are now looking into after the millennium, after the lake of fire, when the devil and all the lost people burn up and they're no more. When in Revelation 21, God brings the heaven and Jerusalem on earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here in the New Jerusalem. All the sin is gone. The seas are restored. Heaven on earth, paradise begins. We're all who are saved. So who are these? This is the future heaven on earth. I see you. There you are. There you are. You were not deceived by Antichrist. You endured to the end. I see you. Ha! Look at there. There I am. Hallelujah. Future. Amen. Heaven on earth. There we are. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Because see, when Jesus comes, he's bringing the saints with him. All those who were saved all the way back to Noah coming with him. And then those of us here who are not going to be deceived. Not many this time not be deceived, but many who've already gone before. There you are. You're in the Bible. Future. Unless you get deceived by the Antichrist.
Stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
Why do you have palms in your hand? A palm is a symbol of victory, where you get victory over all of the lies of Satan, over sin, over hell, over death. You are victorious. Hallelujah.
Yes,
you made
Amen.
It.
Ten. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb.
They will be saying, those in heaven now who are saved, and all of us who are saved, will say, Thank God we're saved. We made it. Salvation. Woo, we're saved. Thank God. That's over.
Yes.
Amen. 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne.
Okay. We have the children of God there, and all of us who are going to be saved. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies with our good robes on. If you're hopeless, none of you are going to be naked. Also, the teraphims and the seraphims, those four living creatures. He's going to mention those. The beasts should be creatures. Keep guard, grab, and grasp Zoe. And Gabriel and Michael, whoo, right here on earth. Revelation 21, heaven on earth.
Now the elders and the four beasts. And fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God.
See, you were created to please God. You've been worshiping yourself. You've been worshiping your children, your job, your fun, your stuff. We were created to worship God. We love Him. There's a hole in your soul, and only until you fall in love with your Valentine, the Lord Jesus Christ, will it ever be filled. We worship him. Now remember, this is the scene, and this is documented in Ezekiel 44 on through 48. The heaven and Jerusalem we'll study about in Revelation 21. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are on earth, the New Jerusalem, and we're all in our place. We're worshiping him.
12, saying, Amen.
That's that. So be it.
Blessings, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Now remember, these were the names given to the seven angels who now sit around the throne of God, who have the face of God, and they protect the 7,000 elect. There's one for every elect. Anytime an elect gets in trouble, they go there. But you know what they're doing? We don't want that name. And God gives his elect those names. No, Lord, to you belongs wisdom and power and might and honor and glory. Notice that riches has been replaced by thanksgiving. We are so thankful to the Lamb.
Yeah. Amen.
13. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?
Now, one of those elders, remember the elders are the 12 patriarchs and the 12 disciples. They asked John, who are these people here and where they come from? A teacher often asks you a question to jumpstart your brain so you will answer. So he's asking that. The elder knows. The teacher knows.
14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest.
John says, I don't know. Remember Ezekiel 37? God had shown Ezekiel the dry bones, and God said, Ezekiel, can these dry bones come alive? He's talking about the dead, lukewarm Christians. Ezekiel said, I don't know.
And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation.
The tribulation of the Antichrist. In other words, anybody who marries the Antichrist harvested out of season, even though he's going to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, peace and safety cause craft to prosper, and half the church is teaching this, he's going to have two horns of a lamb and the voice of a dragon. If you're not deceived, you don't go into that tribulation, the time of Antichrist. By the way, it's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13. You don't go out of that. You were delivered out of that. You waited for the true Christ. By the way, there are two tribulations, the tribulation of the Antichrist, and you're not going to be deceived by that. But there's the tribulation of Jesus when he comes to pour out that wrath, cup of wrath. But if you're not deceived, if you're not worshiping the Antichrist, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. So this are those people who were not deceived by the devil. See, even though you went to church all your life and loved Jesus, if you would seek the truth, you'd find it. I sought the truth. I was brought up in church. I gave my heart to God at 5. I knew I was called full time, but I knew there was more. And I sought it with all my heart, and I found it. So if anybody's really seeking it, 144,000, you can find it.
Yeah, amen.
So see, there's no excuse. Oh, I never heard. Did you seek?
And it washed their robes, and it made them white with the blood of the Lamb.
We just said that down at the cross, washed with the blood of the Lamb. Nothing, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night.
Now we're going to find in Revelation there's going to be no night there, because Jesus is the day. But it's an expression that all of us are going to serve the Lord. You know how you serve him. You're going to love him. He wants your love, not your phony words of love, not your acting like you're a Christian, but your pure, undiluted love. That means 24 hours. You love him more than cleaning your house. You love him more than your children, your mate, your family. You love him more than your car. You love him more than your body. You love him more than your fun, because you give your whole time to him. He is always first. That's what we're going to do, love him. Amen. But I can assure you, when you love him, he pours that love back out to you.
In his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them.
In Ezekiel, which talks about this future heaven on earth, chapter 48, the last verse, God's going to change the name of the heaven in Jerusalem to Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us.
16, they shall hunger no more.
See, I told you about the hole in the soul. That's why you drink too much. That's why you go after drugs. That's how you go for one of the opposite sex, one after another, have promiscuous sex. That's why you eat too much. That's why you keep trying to have fun. And that's why you keep just having to go email, 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 cell phone, cell phone, cell phone. You're trying to find something there. Why you can't? Because you need God. Amen. But we'll have God. We won't hunger or thirst for that anymore. We'll have him whom our soul loves. We'll be complete.
Amen.
Neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
Right now, for all of us who serve the Lord with all our heart, the devil persecutes us and brings heat. It's interesting in Ezekiel, when the Zadok are teaching, it says there, Ezekiel 40 on through 48, it says no heat shall come upon them. That's because in the millennium, the devil's going to be locked into abyss. But when this scene takes place, the devil will have already walked in the lake of fire and be gone. So no more persecution. In other words, the word's going to be living forever. We can declare the word of God forever without ever any more being persecuted. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them.
The Lamb is Jesus. Jesus said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And so we learn in Revelation 22 that the leaves of the tree is the Lamb, the tree of life, are for the healing of the nation. This means that Jesus is going to feed us himself so that we live forever and will never be born.
I shall lead them to living fountains of water.
Now, in the book of Ezekiel, we see the Father and Son sitting on the throne in the future heaven on earth, right here, all of us around there, the New Jerusalem. But out of that throne comes a beautiful crystal river. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus says, I have a baptism to baptize you with, the fire of the Holy Spirit. A baptism means we are immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. What this means is, there's a scene there that we're going to be covered with this water. It doesn't mean we're going to be drowned. It's the Holy Spirit. It means that the honeymoon will last forever. In other words, this is a love story. You know how the Holy Spirit touches you now in his ecstasy, even for a moment? You know that good feeling?
Yes.
Well, he'll cover you. It's always the first kiss, the first hug, the first touch. I mean, the honeymoon lasts forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the greatest love story ever told.
Amen.
What's the matter with you people? Shout.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
No more tears, heaven on earth. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All of you 144,000 out there listening, you've heard the truth. Receive the truth and come on in. So the four angels can loose the destructive forces, that time's been shortened, and then our Lord shall come, and then we will all be with him forevermore. He's coming here, heaven on earth. Glory to God.
Amen.
Normally at this time, I give you a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. But this whole lesson's been a mystery,
yes.
So we're going to, for time's sake, skip that. However, I would like to introduce to you man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very, very well, Miss Sherry. I mean, that was a mystery revealed, wasn't it?
Fantastic.
The whole word. That's
fantastic.
Awesome word.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the car, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
In obedience to his word is life. As we walk in his word, there is a type of suffering in obedience, but the rewards far, far outweigh the pain.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Scott Mercer. We appreciate your Scott stuff.
Thank you, Michelle.
In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but first, any of you out there, even some of you might not be saved, pray this prayer with me. Let's get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's get you saved so you can receive the truth. Pray this prayer with me, mean it, and be saved. Be saved before it's too late. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To help build the church of Jesus Christ.
To help build the church of Jesus Christ.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I am a Christian.
I am a Christian.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now for those of you out there who prayed that, when you hear my telephone number in a little while, call and leave that message on my voicemail and I will pray for you. Excuse me. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, according to Malachi 4, you said that to those who fear your name, that means revere your name, love your name is called the Word of God. Everybody who sat through this must love your word. You said the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in your wings. The wings in the Hebrew, laser beams of healing virtue. So, Father, now I ask that the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue will penetrate wherever there is any kind of flu or cold or stomach disorder or Corolla disease. Anybody listening to me, disease be gone, flu be gone, congestion be gone, lungs be open, breath of God flow through, yes. Be healed from the top of your yes. head, digestive system, sinuses open, all of that congestion, stomachs be healed, and order, peace, disease be gone, in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He restores health and cure to you. He heals you of your wound. You shall not die but never declare the works of God. Arise, take up your bed and walk. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, we give you glory, God. For any of you who received that miracle, please feel free to call and leave that message also on my voice mail. Nothing is given to us to keep. You're supposed to give it away. God's law of reciprocity, and he'll give you more. Please don't keep these truths. How selfish. Go and tell and get somebody else saved. You're supposed to win souls. Everybody says, I witness. One woman said, I witness because I tell everybody after I leave, don't forget God. That's not witnessing. They might worship the wrong God. Witnessing means you talk to a person about their eternal soul and you tell them that Jesus died for their sin and you ask them if you could pray with them to receive Jesus. That's witnessing. So go and do that because you're not called to mediocrity. You're called to excellency. You're to represent the excellent Son of God, the Majesty on high. You're called to do great exploits. So go and tell.
Amen.
Now, I want to thank all of you for listening, and I want to remind you that Jesus is Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you. It's time for us to grow up, church. Let's get about our Father's business. Just leave all of that junk behind and come on and jump in and be sanctified. And let's get this word out to America and the whole wide world while there's still time. I love you so much. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
Trumpet
of Truth.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you.
Calling
do
all
life right.
Christians who love America, Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth invites you to join her every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for President Donald Trump and for America. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Sherry is in Sun Tree next to the Produce Place at 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and may God save America. Once again, that's Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and the place, 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. And join us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for a Trumpet of Truth.
You have given us a new name, the sons and daughters of your righteousness, and you have taken all of our shame and given us the gift of holiness. Lord, we're crying out for faith to believe the word you say. You say we are loved. You say we belong to you. Your grace is enough. Nothing more that we can do. You say we've been bought by your blood, by your word, and all that we can say is amen.
Souls of men, oh, you rescue. You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.